Okay, taking a bit of a break from the discussion about coronavirus, although maybe it does relate, everything relates. Parshas Emor, the blasphemer. It seems like he has a theological rebellion. He blasphemes. We call him Evarech HaShem, Chas HaShem. We don't want to use terminology that's irreverent to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we create a euphemism, but we all know what type of activity it was. He's anonymous. The anonymity, I mean, we know his parents, and that's going to factor in, but the anonymity suggests that this is a story of, not of every man, Chas HaShem, but it's a struggle that many go through. And I think that a lot of people in today's world struggle. I think many of us have family members, friends, acquaintances, older people have colleagues at work that, as we call them, we even have an acronym for them, OTD, off the derech. People who have left religion to one degree or another. It's frustrating. We believe that we're living in a redemptive cycle. We'd like to see religion become more popular. We'd like to see that surge. In some ways, we find it to become more robust, more learning. The numbers are growing demographically. Orthodox people tend to have larger families. But if we take a larger cross-section of the Jewish people and a larger cross-section of the trends of the last 200 years, it's clearly more of a secularization. We hope that, of course, there's a reversal. And again, in Eretz Yisrael, the lines aren't as black and white, religious and secular. But why do people go off the derech? What happens? And without oversimplifying Chas HaShalom, because they're very, very deep and powerful emotions and families and guilt, but just some general senses to understand it, to try to battle some of those concerns within Chas HaShalom, within yourself, but some of the questions that you have, and obviously, to try to offer assistance to other people. So, the Mikal HaShem, the Varech HaShem, I should say, I apologize, the Varech HaShem, doesn't understand the Shulchan and the Lechem Apanim, see Rashi, and this is not going to be a very, very specific shir. But he was very riled by the notion that stale bread wasn't refreshed every day. Of course, the Gemara Chagiga says the bread remained miraculously fresh. But it appeared to him as if religious ceremonies were meaningless and arbitrary and irrelevant. And when people have dissatisfaction with the meaning of religion, then sometimes it yields to deep questioning of Hashem, his interest in our ritual experience. Does Hashem really care whether we wear tzitzis this way or that way, or keep Shabbos this way, as long as we keep Shabbos? In their own sense, they feel humiliated performing activities which are senseless, carry no discernible meaning or symbolism. They feel alienated when their activities, which are contrary to human interests and moral values, sometimes are not able to make sense of religious practice or unable to reconcile what they see as a contradiction between religious practice and moral sensitivity. So, and I think that Baruch Hashem, our practice has improved dramatically. So many people affirm, even within the firm world, but we've paid less attention to meaning and less attention to philosophy, less attention to reason, and this could catch up with us, because at a certain point, people don't want to just go through practice, even people without really deep-seated issues knowing at them. So it's interesting to think about. A lot of people, at a certain point, just the whole sense of ritual and mitzvahs becomes unintelligible to them, and then they walk out. Now, at a literal level, number two, the Svevarach HaShem is denied entry into the Jewish camp, because his father was an Egyptian, his mother was Jewish, and the people arguing, and even though legally he was Jewish, because his mother was Jewish, he was rejected for the desert encampment. And once he was excluded from the community, it was difficult to maintain religious identity, because communal identity is a powerful element of who we are. Who do we belong to? Which community? And this is something we're struggling today as well, how to strike a balance between establishing standards and creating inclusive communities, because once you exclude someone, it's much more difficult for them to maintain their firmkeit, even if they're sincere about it. Obviously, the issue that we are dealing with most frontally is homosexuality. Homosexual activity is against the halacha, and we have to deliver very, very clear statements. On the other hand, we want to try to find room for people of homosexual tendencies to be part of our community, to feel included in. And so it's a very, very difficult task, obviously larger than a 4 or 5 minute divrei chizuk. But when people are excluded from the community, they're not allowed to come to shul, they're not given an aliyah, they're not invited to the simchas, it's really difficult to maintain firmkeit for most people. So this Mechalas Hashem is excluded, Mevarach Hashem is excluded from the community, and then that leads to his blasphemy and his rejecting religion. Now, Third issue is that according to Chazal, he wasn't just the son of an Egyptian, but his father was killed by Moshe. His father was the one who, according to Chazal, was raping a Jewish married woman. Moshe discovers this Egyptian rapist flogging the husband of this woman he had raped, and Moshe, of course, in Parsha Shmos, kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. Which means that this young man, the Mevarech Hashem, the blasphemer, grew up with a lot of pain. It was deserved, not to him, but his father deserved his sentence, but nonetheless, pain is pain. He lost his father, and he had a trauma, and this trauma erupted into a theological rebellion. Very often, people are theologically challenged and philosophical questions. Very, very often, it's really a manifestation of long-term psychological stress that is being vented, emotional pain, because we're emotional beings, and when we experience deep and prolonged grief or distress, we sometimes wonder about why does Hashem insert us into these emotionally challenging circumstances. An educator who I have a lot of respect for once told me he never met an 18-year-old theologian. A lot of 18-year-olds have difficulty with religion. He said, in most cases, it's about emotional issues, not about theology and philosophy. So number one, the Mevarech Es Hashem just can't understand mitzvahs. Number two, he has been excluded from the community. Number three, he's gone through a lot of pain. Number four, of course, he grew up in a mixed marriage. His father's Egyptian, his mother is Jewish, different culture, different holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah. And it's really important that we create environments, school and parents and within families of consistent messages. Kids need consistency. It's important for parents not to contradict or not to try to usurp or subvert the authority of the teachers of their children. So these are the four reasons that the blasphemer, the Mevarech Es Hashem, leaves religion. And they provide some very, very general, of course, very general. I don't want to oversimplify. These are very, very emotionally charged. Life is complex. People who leave religion leave for many reasons, and there's overlapping reasons. But at least we can get some keyhole into their world through the Mevarech Es Hashem and Parshas Zemar.